Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back to Overnight America. Here we are past 11 o'clock this hour. I want to talk about some of the comments Jay Leno brought up. The politics and late night talk, just not funny anymore. So it's fun to hear Jay Leno bring it up. I wanted to start this hour with the vaccinations in the schools. I don't know how many schools in the St. Louis region are affected by this, but in New York, public health officials in a community took the extra step to ban unvaccinated students from attending their schools, and a judge has backed them up to do so. I think it's a good thing. I totally 100% agree that if you decide not to vaccinate your children, that the schools have the right to say, well, you're going to have to take your kids somewhere else or homeschool them. I 100% agree with that. And let me go through this, what happened in New York. And if there's any examples of this in St. Louis, I would like to hear about it. 314-436-7900. You can call or text that number. Or 800-925-1120. There's a really big push online right now of people putting together these conspiracy theories about vaccinations, and they'll take different statistics, and I wish I could put statistics in quotes, if you can do the air quotes around them, and try to use it as a way to justify not vaccinating their children, or to say it's safer for them to be unvaccinated as opposed for them to be vaccinated. And there's a big movement to say, oh, you know, all you need is essential oils, and all you need is to sprinkle this or do that, or, you know, put potatoes in your socks. I, you know, that may seem a little weird, but there's a lot of people, and the information gets spread on Facebook, and people believe these things without looking into them. And they don't trust doctors, and they don't trust that these vaccinations are actually necessary. And it's caused a lot of harm. And I 100% agree that when it comes to schooling and protecting all the other kids that go to school, that when we have outbreaks of measles on the rise, that you have to say, and at some point put your foot down and say, we're not going to allow these things to spread because a parent doesn't want to vaccinate their kid and put them into a school that way. No, done. It's almost like saying that, you know, we go through all kinds of different issues with allergies, and we make sure that kids are safe at school. And it would almost be like saying, well, we're going to forget about all of these other health issues at a school. It's going to be a free for all. And we don't care what you bring in. We don't care what you do. You're on your own as a parent to have your kid make sure he's protected against everyone else that's doing something irresponsible. And I'm glad New York made the stance here. I'm really glad. And I think about my own kid, and I think about how dangerous it could be and what could be brought in as a Trojan horse on some of these children whose parents decide not to vaccinate their children. And I don't want to be put at risk because of what some other parents decide to do to their child. In fact, if you honestly believe that vaccinations are terrible and you don't want to vaccinate your children, listen, you can believe those things. You are the parent, but you're going to have to remove yourself from the situation, and you're going to have to remove yourself from putting everyone else at harm because of it. So take your kid out of the system. That's the way you handle that. In New York, so it says, parents of 42 children affected by the ban at the school in the Green Meadow Waldorf School sued the Rockland County Health Department, asking a federal judge to use an injunction to allow the child to return. That was denied. So the judge in the case said the parents failed to prove that the public interest outweighs public interest. It says the public interest weighs in favor of granting an injunction. Okay, so let me read that over. I slaughtered that sentence. The judge said the parents failed to prove that public interest weighs in favor of granting an injunction, according to the Journal News. The New York Times putting together a piece on this. So the decision has grown into a pushback against people who do not vaccinate their children. And a lot of people are upset for this sort of thing. I think that Rockland County and what they're seeing in New York is not unique to that area. What happened over in the Seattle area or Washington, over in the Northwest Coast, we saw the same thing. And it's crazy to think that we're still talking about kids spreading measles, but we see these measles outbreaks going on too. So even when schools did not have confirmed cases of measles, officials were still worried that unvaccinated children could be exposed to measles in other public places. At one point, 60 schools and 6,000 students were affected by the orders, and that included 49 lower schools, eighth grader younger, inside of that Green Meadow district. So some people are upset about this. They feel like, you know, you can't exclude my child. And honestly, I don't care. I think when it comes to health issues, I don't think you can say that your decision, your medical decision for your child and how you decide to handle it is worth the medical well-being of the other children. As in, you're putting everyone else at risk, thus it's not just your issue anymore. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So let me ask this, and is this the right move? Should unvaccinated kids not be allowed in public schools? And of course, with the private schools, they can make their own determination, I guess. But should unvaccinated kids be not allowed in these school situations? Let me go to Mike real quick before we go to break. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, about this vaccine. Now, here's my opinion. You know, kids, I understand you want to protect your child. I understand that. But do I agree with the judge 100%? No, I do not. And should some unvaccinated be allowed to go? I say yes. You know why I say that? Because, like, think about it this way. Let's say some kids you want to vaccinate the shot, but some people would get kids would get sick from getting the shot. Then I wouldn't want them sick, and I wouldn't want your kids sick. So I think it should be an option. I don't think it's it. The door should swing both ways. I don't think it should be forced on them.
With all the kids that and all the measles outbreaks that we're seeing right now, that's totally fine. We should be able to just ignore what's going on with these outbreaks.
No, I don't mean like that. I mean, you want to protect your kid. You're 100% right. But look at the other side. Some kids, if you did that, they would actually put your kid on the other side. Say if he's going to get sick by getting a shot. Some people get sick from certain shots. You know, I don't want sickness, period. So I think it should be open. I think it should be an option. I don't think you should have to do it. But, yes, protect, if you want the shot, you should get it to protect your kid. Just like flu shots, some people get sick from certain shots. So you don't want either kid sick. So I say 50% on each side and let the parents make a choice. But I don't think it should be forced on them.
This is a situation where it's not getting the kids sick for taking the vaccinations. It's a situation.
You don't know this. Some kids
do. We're talking about situations where the parents don't believe that the vaccinations are beneficial to their kid, so they're deciding not to give it. It's not
I think that's wrong where they don't believe it's beneficial because either way, it might not say it, you could still get sick. Like you said, you want to protect your kids, you're right. And the other kids shouldn't be banned out of school because some of that they think is beneficial can hurt another kid. I don't want none of the kids hurt. Yeah. I like them all to be fine.
Well, that's the case. Yeah, that's the case they're running into in these schools. It's the parents that are taking these and deciding not to get the vaccinations, not because it's necessary for their kid, but is because that's their preference. So that's what's happening.
Well, to be said, kids might get sick. Now, if they're not, and you know for a fact, we don't know for a fact. Put it this way, say your kid gets a shot, like you say, one of your kid got sick. You wouldn't like that. You wouldn't expect that. It's rare, but you want all the kids safe.
Yeah, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about something
different. Well, I am talking about that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, Mike. Good to hear from you. All right. 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. No, we're talking about the parents that read some blog online or they listen to someone on their social media feed tell them that their kids are being poisoned by getting vaccinations. And, you know, you're going to give your kids autism for giving your kid a vaccination. And they hear these people go out there and they'll believe them. And it doesn't matter how many times it's been debunked or it doesn't matter how many times you actually look at the instances where this happened. It is so outweighed by the benefits of getting the vaccination in itself. I mean, if you look at and they just came out with a brand new study on this. And again, study after study after study agrees. If the likelihood of your child getting something from a vaccination is so minuscule. I mean, it is minuscule, minuscule, minuscule. The risk of you hurting your child for not getting the vaccination is exponentially higher than if you were to take the risk of giving the kid the vaccination. That's what we're running into. Parents decide not to give their kids the vaccination, and then in return could put other children at risk. And the schools have to make this a priority, and I'm not going to fault New York for doing this. Not going to fault them. In fact, I think it's the right thing to do. What are you going to do? Are you going to say, sorry, if you can't take the vaccination, then who would you want to pull out of the school? The one that refuses to vaccinate their kids, or the kids that are vaccinated but are afraid of the ones coming in that could be bringing in other diseases? All right. I'm going to get some more of your calls coming up on Overnight America, KMOX.
St. Louis's news, traffic, and weather. News Radio 1120, KMOX. Depend on it.
New York City, a judge said, nope, schools have the ability to keep kids out if they refuse or their parents refuse to vaccinate them. So the decision was added after even a public pushback against people who do not vaccinate their children get upset. But essentially what they're saying is you have to, you know, you have the ability not to vaccinate your children. You can make those decisions for your children and when it comes to your own child's health. But what you don't have the ability to do is put other children's health at risk as well. And when you see these measles outbreaks happening all over the place, it's a serious risk that schools need to prepare for, and this is one way they can combat it. And you know what? I'm totally fine with it, and I think it's not bad at all. Let me get to Tracy, who's calling in. Hey, Tracy, what's going on?
Hey, how's it going tonight, guys?
Good.
First off, I just want to say I hope the previous caller does not have kids, because that would be a little scary. Second of all, his point of not getting any kiddos sick, well, I'd rather have one or two little kiddos sick than hundreds of kiddos sick. So if they get sick from getting a shot, keep them isolated, they'll get over it, but at least they got the shot. I don't think the kids that are not vaccinated should go to school. The kids who are, I know it sounds terrible, but, you know, can't have it. I don't want my kid getting sick from some kind of mutation or bringing something else in. It's not fair to us.
I think right now, and I see CBS just put a different news story out about this, so there are six different outbreaks in the United States right now when it comes to measles. This is not six cases, but six outbreaks. So we're talking about a lot of people are being affected by this right now.
Yeah, it's not right.
And that's how you spread it quickly. You spread it very quickly when you have a kid unvaccinated that may be able to contaminate an entire school of children who are vulnerable. So that adds a whole different sector to this. And even here in Missouri, we had an issue where someone was traveling through the state, which created its own measles issue. I can't remember, was it just this week, earlier this week, or maybe last week that story came out? So we've seen even here in Missouri some instances where people have contracted measles. And it's weird, it's 2019 and we're contracting measles, you know?
Here's the question I have is people have been getting vaccinations since the early 50s, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. If it's this bad, then where are all the cases for all these past years? How come we haven't had these effects or these stories come out all this time about the vaccination causing autism and different things?
Yeah.
I'm just wondering why we've only heard about it from the last 20 years.
Yeah, I think people are taking the rise of autism, and we start to diagnose these things in ways we weren't diagnosing them in the past. But they use this as a way to try to correlate the two. And every time a study comes out, there's never a correlation. And that's confirmed over and over and over again. But they try to correlate it because they feel like it's the only rational connection between the two, and it's really not. So, Tracy, I think when all of this misinformation gets dispelled on social media, and it may seem logical to some parents, and then they fall for it, it could be dangerous, and we're seeing it being actually dispelled on a much larger scale because of social media. And it's a very convincing argument, I'm sure, that they're putting up there, but it's just not a true one.
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Tracy. Bye. All right. That's Tracy calling in. So we have parents wanted their unvaccinated children in school. I don't know if there's too many of those instances here in the St. Louis region. No, I don't think there are. I haven't really heard too many instances where we've had unvaccinated children, when it comes to the school systems, get asked to leave or at least asked to, you know, get up to date on their shots. I know there's certain exemptions, but I look at this. It still seems pretty rare, but you know what's real are these measles outbreaks. Like, let me play this from CBS, Jim Shenevy.
Federal health officials say there have now been 228 confirmed cases of measles in 12 states. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has identified 6 outbreaks in Washington State, California, Texas, Illinois, and New York. Now, these cases have been linked to unvaccinated travelers bringing the disease back into the U.S. from other countries where large outbreaks are occurring, including Israel and Ukraine. That's focused new attention on states with lax vaccine exemption laws and prompted a federal judge in New York to ban dozens of unvaccinated children from attending school, even though those children do not have measles. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Very good. Way to go, Jim Shenevy. So that's the update from CBS News. They did a pretty good job summarizing that. Wish I could summarize something that well in 37 seconds. Not bad. What do we got, a couple minutes here? All right, here's something. This is actually really cool. I wanted to play this for you, and I think producer Mike, you'll appreciate this. Have you ever heard of an athlete by the name of Tim Ream? That name sound familiar? So Tim Ream is from St. Louis. He played soccer for the St. Louis Billikens from 2006 to 2009. He currently plays for a team over in England, Fulham. And he was a star in the NSCAA All Midwest region in 2005. He played all across the state. He attended St. Louis University. He was an all defender. I mean, was really, really well looked at in the realm of soccer. So now he's over in the UK. He's playing for the Fulham Soccer Football Club or whatever. And what he decided to do, they did this little bit on YouTube where it's called Learn the Lingo. So he has an iPad and he has one of his teammates by the name of Neskins Cabano. And they ask him, someone who's never been to St. Louis, if he could try to figure out some St. Louis lingo. This is actually pretty good. So I'll ask you, terms of thumbs up, thumbs down, tell me if you know what some of these St. Louis lingos are. Producer Mike.
I'm Tim Ream, and I'm going to be teaching Neeskins here St. Louis slang. Been on the boat?
Been on the boat. Do you know that one? Thumbs up? Okay.
Get cold.
I don't know, take a boat and go in the sea or something.
No, so in St. Louis, been on the boat means have you been to the casino? So we have a
casino.
A casino, yeah.
So what's there's the thing between casino and boat?
So the one of the first casinos in St. Louis was on a boat on the river. So the boat was on the river, the casino was on the river.
All right, you got that one. Congratulations. That's one for one so far.
Been on the boat.
And no more bet.
That's a good one. Hoosier.
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 All right, producer Mike, you knew that one immediately.
Who are you?
No. So we call someone who's like a bit...
It's funny, he's being very delicate on how he pronounces himself on this.
Undesirable. A bit chubby.
Oh, okay. I see.
Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
Just take farty far.
Just take the 44. Just take the 44.
St. Louisans have this thing where they replace the O with an A. 40 is a motorway. 44 is a motorway.
Oh, so I'm on the
take the motorway. 40. Take yeah. Take route.
You guys are weird.
Because you guys are weird. They did a couple of other more like yeah. They did a couple of more generic ones. Let's see.
Pert near.
I'm close.
It's pretty spot on there. It's something that's near.
Pert near? You heard that one? I haven't heard that one either.
Let's get some T-Ravs. T-Ravs is really the what you're looking at here.
Oh, what's T-Ravs? Let's go for food?
Yeah, T-Ravs is food, yeah. So T-Ravs are like little, you know, raviolis.
Got that one.
Yeah. So in St. Louis, we cover them in breadcrumbs and then we deep fry them. So instead of having them soft, they're deep fried. So good. They're called toasted raviolis, but we always shorten it T-Ravs.
All right, so he did pretty good, didn't he? He did a pretty good job with those. All right. No, not really. I didn't know the first one about sea on the boat or whatever. The boat was new to me. Good old St. Louis slang. Farty far. Trying to substitute the O's for the A's or whatever. And you can tell if someone's from outside of the area if they call it 64 instead of 44. Farty far. I'm not used to it. I feel like I'm really forcing it when I try to say it the way I know people say it here. Oh, boy. All right. This is Overnight America, KMOX. Let's go,
Blues! Hey, Blues fans. Joey Vitale here, and we have some Thursday night hockey for you as the St. Louis Blues hit the road again to take on Brady Tkachuk and the Ottawa Senators. The pregame show starts at 6 and puck drops at 6:30 on KMOX. Let's go, Blues!
Overnight America. If you like my singing, follow me on Twitter. You'll love me there, at Ryan Recker. No, I don't sing on Twitter, but if you miss any part of the show, you can actually download the podcast at kmox.com/overnight and find it on your favorite podcast app, wherever you get your podcast at. If you don't know where to get podcasts, you could do the radio.com app. That's not bad. But kmox.com/overnight. Jay Leno was on the Today Show the other day. Apparently Jay Leno's doing I don't know if it's a PSA or he was doing certain ads for taking care of your health, high blood pressure, things like that. We saw Luke Perry, the famous Hollywood actor. He was on 90210. He passed away because of a stroke. And a lot of times you see these complications are from things that could be detected ahead of time. You got to pay attention to what your blood pressure is, you know, what your levels are, whatever it is. And a lot of things we just ignore, or we just choose, we don't got the time to deal with it or whatever it is. And it puts us at a higher risk level. And then sometimes the worst happen. I wanted to bring up Jay Leno here because he was not talking about that to the Today Show. And then afterwards, the Today Show was talking to Jay about the current situation with the late night talk show hosts and their political leanings. Because back in the day, Johnny Carson was not one to go out there and use it as a political platform to try to dispel his own beliefs or sway people anyway. And Johnny Carson had a great philosophy with it all. And what we're going to do is play Johnny Carson's comments about it, because it's completely different than what you see today. It's so different than the Colberts of the world and them going out in the Jimmy Kimmels and even to some extent Jimmy Fallon. And they go out and they do this thing that everything's got to be a political platform for them. And Jay Leno went out there and basically said, why does everyone have to know your politics? It doesn't make for a good show.
It's been 5 years since you left the Tonight right. Show. And you see the place we are right now in this country. Do you miss being on the show, or is it such a different time that it would be hard to do?
No, it's different. I don't miss it. You know, everything now is, if people don't like your politics, everyone has to know your politics. Mm-hmm. When I kind of use Johnny's model, people couldn't figure out, well, you and your Republican friends, well, Mr. Leno, you and your Democratic buddies, I will, and I would get hate mail from both sides equally. And I went, well, that's fabulous. Yes. That's exactly what I want. Yes. But when people see you as one-sided, it just makes it tough. And plus, you know, I did it when, you know, Clinton was horny and Bush was dumb, and it was just a little easier.
You're
you know, now it's all very serious. Everything is just so I just like to see a bit of civility come back to it.
You know? Can you do a good Jay Leno impersonation, producer Mike? Jay Leno. Jay Leno. I can't do a Jay Leno either.
You know, people say, oh, it must be easy to do jokes with Trump. No, it's actually harder. Because the punchline of a joke used to be, that's like the president with a porn star. Well, now the president is with a porn star. Where do you go with that? How do you get more outrageous than that? Yeah. Exactly.
Do you think the pendulum will swing back the other direction?
Oh, of course, I think it will. Yeah. I think it'll swing back the other way. Yeah, because, you know, the theory when we did the show was, you just watch the news, we'll make fun of the news and get your mind off the news. Mm-hmm. Well, now people just want to be on the news all the time.
Right.
So you just have one subject, so it's the same topic every night, which makes it very hard. I mean, all the comics, Jimmy and Colbert and everybody else, it's tough when that's the only topic.
Dominates everything.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that was Jay Leno. controversial to begin with. Notice he didn't mention Conan O'Brien because he completely put the screws to him during that whole situation. And yeah, Jay Leno does not have the best reputation. People look at him and they revere him as one of the greatest stand-up comics of all time. But what happened during that whole Tonight Show deal with Conan O'Brien and coming back and messing with all of that, that was really a not cool thing to do. And you can look back at these sort of things, and there were some warning signs. Notice he didn't mention Conan O'Brien. I think Conan's the best of the late-night talk show hosts. I think by far, I think Conan's better than Jimmy Fallon, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert. So Conan's doing the thing on TBS right now, and he's changed the structure of his show. So it's basically cut the monologue out, and we're just going to do an interview with someone. We're going to put two chairs down, and we're going to do a half-hour interview with someone interesting. And that he's trying to change what he's doing on his show. He's not doing the traditional talk show anymore. And you know what I want to give credit to Conan O'Brien for? I think he realizes that people are just tired of people coming on, spouting their politics, fragmenting their audience. It's completely opposite of what Jimmy Carson was doing. And I think all the late-night talk show hosts would clamor at the opportunity to be a fraction as good as Johnny Carson. At least Conan has taken some of the different merits of what made him great and is trying to find ways to keep that alive. And, you know, good for him to do that. Like, here's Johnny Carson. I found some old YouTube clips of him doing different interviews, and they were asking him, how come you don't become more political? And one of the first interviews you'll hear, right, is with Barbara Walters, a young Barbara Walters.
When you come out and do your monologues, which are really based on what you've read, do you go home and worry about things? Do you worry about this country? Are there things that really bug you that you can't say in the air?
You're going to get serious, aren't you?
A little bit.
Now, notice how he not necessarily deflects, but he tries to diffuse the question. So Barbara Walters comes in and tries to make it so he's going to talk politics. We're going to find out what Johnny Carson believes that he can't say on the air, but he will say with Barbara Walters. He recognized the trap that he was being put into, and listen how he handled it.
I think one of the dangers, if you are a comedian, which basically I am, if you start to take yourself too seriously, and start to comment on social issues, your sense of humor suffers somewhere. I've seen other people, whose names I won't mention, who do humor. And then somewhere along the line, they start to want to make their views known. I try to do it humorously. I try not to, and we've had some criticism on the show. Some critics over the years says, well, the show has no great sociological value. It's not controversial. It's not deep. The Tonight Show basically is to amuse people, to make them laugh.
Do you get sensitive about the fact that...
And this is a second separate interview. So the purpose of the Tonight Show is to make them laugh. Notice how he talked about whoever was in the Tonight Show at that point. He didn't say, what I try to do is this or that or that. He said, here's the philosophy, and this is how I look at the late-night talk show host. We're talking Johnny Carson. It doesn't get any bigger than that when it comes to late-night talk show host, and it never will get as big as Johnny Carson. So he removed himself, and it was almost like he was looking at it as if he wasn't the host talking. He was someone that was critiquing whoever the host was going to be. So what he's saying here applies to what's happening in today's modern talk show hosts, where there's a whole bunch of them. How many can you name? You have Jimmy Fallon, Conan O'Brien, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert. Who's the guy that's on right now? This is James Corden. Then you have some other ones over on the BBC. You have Norton, who's very funny. I don't know if I've ever actually watched an episode of Graham Norton, but I see the clips online with how he handles his interviews with celebrities. It's really, really well done. And then you have some other more internationally well-known ones. The old late-night talk shows of the world, the Larry Kings of the world, they're gone, you know? So here, listen to how he answers this question here.
People say he'll never take a serious controversy. Well, I have an answer to that. I said, now, tell me the last time that Jack Benny, Red Skelton, Benny comedian, used his show to do serious issues. That's not what I'm there for. Can't they see that? But you're not... Why do they think that just because you have a Tonight Show that you must deal in serious issues? That's a danger. It's a real danger. Once you start that, you start to get that self-important feeling that what you say has great import. And you know, strangely enough, you could use that show as a forum. You could sway people. And I don't think you should as an entertainer.
Ooh, the self-important feeling. Way to go. You know, I have a hard time getting on board with Jay Leno. I just think he really handled himself. And it's such a weird thing because people will talk to him and talk about how he was one of the greatest comedians of all time. And then you'll listen to other people and they'll say, you know, he's the biggest weasel there is based on how he handled that situation with Conan O'Brien. And people look at Conan as being one of the greatest people in the industry. So, you know, you find that there's a lot of people taking sides. There's kind of like this divorce of comedians. They had to choose a side. So I have a hard time. But from all accounts, I mean, anyone that's ever talked to Jay Leno seems to come back and say he was, you know, great person to talk to. Not a lot of people will fault him for a conversation, but I don't think they like how he handled that sort of thing. But he's right here. He's right to look at these late night talk show hosts and say, this is, you know, it'll swing back the other way, but it's just not entertaining what they're doing on the airs anymore. I get it. Totally get it. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Overnight America and Ryan Recker continues on KMOX.
Overnight America, here it is again. When we get close to midnight, it'll be a week from today, right around now, we'll be walking around our building because we will have experienced ghost hunters walking our floor here in the Park Pacific building with their instruments and their cameras and all of the things necessary for them to do their readings. And they're going to let us know if some of these quote unquote hauntings, if they can pick up and detect these things. I meant to tell Alex Degman about it. He did come on one day and say that he would totally believed that someone was walking behind him and he turned around and there was no one there. There was one time where the lights would flicker every time we'd talk about ghosts and things, which was really strange. One time at my desk, I heard a really strange noise and it picked up on a microphone because I was doing a live video for social media at the time. I had no idea where that noise came from. It was very strange. And even our production director, Valerie, said that in her old studio, something would rattle inside of the filing cabinet and couldn't figure out what it was. So I will tell you this. If they go through and find something, we're going to do a live ghost hunt on the air this time next week. This is an old building. You know what Johnny Rabbit told me is that there's underground tunnels in this building that go to different parts of the city. Did you know that? How do you get to that? Are you allowed to get to it? I wonder if we're allowed to take the ghost hunters down there. That would be thrilling for them. But then again, we have so much electric and electronic devices that are hooked up in this building. I mean, we're a radio station. We have satellites. We have a whole room full of electronics and things. I asked them, is that going to throw off your instruments? And they said, we can detect the difference between something come from electronics versus something not. They said, hey, you think you're talking to amateurs here? Who do you think you're talking to? We're the Ghostbusters. Well, they didn't say that, but I wish they would have said that. Oh, Mark calling in from Kansas. Hey, Mark, what's going on?
Ryan, how you doing tonight?
Good.
Hey, I kind of wanted to defend Leno a little bit.
Oh, okay.
You know, I watched Johnny Carson. I'm, you know, I graduated in 78, so I'll give you my age right there.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched Carson for years, all the years he was on there. Leno had a great thing called Headlines.
Yeah. Newspaper clippings?
I love that. What's that?
Is that the newspaper clipping thing?
Yeah, the newspaper clippings.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, have you ever heard of Raymond, Illinois?
No, I have not.
Raymond is, have you heard of Litchfield, Illinois?
I haven't been there, but I've heard of it, but I haven't heard of Raymond.
Okay, Raymond's about 15 miles northeast of there.
Okay.
Anyway, along the interstate, you get off the interstate and you go there. There was, I just happened to catch it one night because I grew up I was raised like 10 miles from there. And one night, Leno put on there, Somebody sent it in. Russell Pogenpole, who used to drive a concrete truck, was fined so much for being gross and overweight. And I just, that just slayed me because I knew the guy.
No.
And it just, I loved it.
You knew the guy.
I thought Leno was great for doing that.
How about that? So you heard someone that you knew mentioned on Leno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It actually made the headlines. That's why I like, that's why I'm kind of defending
that's
Leno
all it takes?
Because he did headlines and they were for all over the country, but
that's all it takes.
Know, the one that hit close to home was great.
You got a name drop. That's all it takes for you to be loyal forever to the guy.
Well, that's just something when you hear it out of the blue and not know, hey, I know this guy that he's making fun of.
Yeah.
And I know the guy drives a concrete truck and he just happened to be, you know, overweight.
I bet you couldn't wait to contact
your buddy. Guy was gross and overweight. It's his vehicle was gross overweight.
So producer Mike says I should make fun of one of your friends so you'll like this show more.
Okay, that's fine. I don't care.
Do you have any friends that I can make fun of? Anyone you want me to call out?
Well, I'm not sure I have a lot of friends that listen to the show.
Doesn't have to be someone listening. Well, that's okay. I don't know who you know, but I'll keep that in mind. Are you still friends with the guy?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So does he still bring it up to this day every Thanksgiving around the table? Hey, remember the time Leno mentioned me on his show?
Yeah, I'm in Kansas. I'm 400 miles away from him. I don't see him anymore.
You can talk to him or whatever.
But
all
hey,
right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Ryan, and let's go Blues.
All right. Bye. Yeah, a week from today, Thursday night, Blues take on the Red Wings. Big bet between producer Mike and myself. I don't exactly know who's going to win that one, but the Blues are by far the favorite. We haven't figured out what our bet's going to be yet. I proposed another thing to producer Mike, and I said, what if we do the forced impersonation for a week? So whoever the winner is could request to the other person to do an impersonation on demand, whatever that impersonation may be. So I would say, hey, producer Mike, do an impersonation of Jay Leno, and he'd have to do it on the spot. And I'm sure they would be terrible impersonations on either end. But I feel like there's no chance the Wings win this. They're terrible right now. So he would be able to throw names at me, and I would just do my best impersonation. It'd have to be someone popular enough where I'd know how they sound, and I just completely ruin all of them, and it would be very embarrassing. You're not too fond of that one. We'll figure out something we can bet on. But yeah, our ghost hunt around the building. You know who I'm going to be talking to on Sunday? Someone I cannot wait to talk to. Did you ever watch Mr. Rogers growing up? Mr. McFeely, I'm going to have a conversation with him on Sunday night. I think it's David Neville is his name. And he is someone that's been traveling a lot because of the most recent Mr. Rogers documentary that's been out. And he'll go to different cities for the screenings and answer questions. Can I tell you, I don't know if you know this, but he is such an integral part of the Fred Rogers Foundation and how they handle themselves. And they were such great business partners. So you have seen Mr. McFeely and all the shows, but maybe you didn't realize how important he was behind the scenes to that program. But let me give you a little, if you got a kid or a grandkid and you watch Daniel Tiger's Neighborhood, which is a cartoon based off of Daniel Tiger from Fred Rogers and Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, and you still see Mr. McFeely on that, or if you watch some of the old Mr. Rogers episodes, which you can stream online, like Amazon and all of the, like the Netflixes and them offer those sort of things, and you watch those with your kids or grandkid, and you like watching it, I don't know if you know this, but you can actually write fan letters to Mr. McFeely, and he'll write in character to your kid or grandkid. He'll write, actually send him a letter in the mail. He responds to fan letters still to this day. We're talking about shows that have been around for decades and decades and decades and decades. He's still very active. And what I did was I actually wrote him a letter because I found out he did this. And I wrote him a letter. On one side, I said, here's what I'm doing with my kid. We've watched you. And I said, oh, you got to see the original Mr. Rogers Neighborhood. And it was kind of cool because my son likes it. So I decided to write him a letter. On one side, I said, okay, here's what we're doing with my kid. And the other side, I had my wife dictate what, you know, because my son's 4, he can't write a letter, but my wife just wrote down everything he was saying to write a letter to Mr. McFeely, and then he signed his name on the bottom. Well, I get a message back from Mr. McFeely, super nice, and I said, I'd love to interview you, and he said, great, let's do it. So this Sunday, I'm going to get a chance to do that. Really looking forward to it. Coming up in the next hour after midnight. I got a couple of food stories for you. Did you see what happened to Mitt Romney and his Twinkie cake? And Ted Drews announced a new flavor. Wait till you hear this one. It's coming up.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.